Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Brewers fans. We know it's a long, cold winter. But let's warm you up with the latest on the crew. It's time for Hot Stove Weekly on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Back at the wall.
The 2019 championship season cannot get here quick enough. What an amazing run in 2018. But time to turn the page and look toward the future. Get the latest free agent signings, trades, the front office, the fans, and more. Heading into our 14th year of Brewers coverage, it's Hot Stove Weekly on The Fan. Here's your host, the franchise, Tim Allen.
Along with Baby Tops, Bill Schmidt, it is another edition of Hot Stove Weekly here on The Fan, a regular Monday night get-together here, latest in Brewers baseball world as the on-deck event. Now we're getting somewhere here in this offseason.
Yeah, now we're getting close. We're within inside a month away from pitchers and catchers. That'll be February 13th for all those that want to mark it down on the calendar.
There was a little bit of an article talking about the renovations to Maryvale Baseball Park, and I don't know if I caught this or not, and excuse me if it was news that I didn't catch. Is the name of the park different now? Did you hear that?
No, I was just breezing.
I was obviously getting ready for the big show today.
Thanks, I appreciate you doing that.
Yeah, and I was breezing through an article. Is it still Maryvale Baseball? It's still Maryvale Baseball Park, right? Because they were talking about the renovations, and they were talking about, you know, as fans park their cars, they get a little different view, a little different walk up, and you're like a little bit closer to the players working out as you head into cool. the new park. And I thought it alluded to maybe it wasn't Maryvale Baseball Park, that it was something different. Can we check that out?
Yeah, I'll check that out while you go through some news and notes. Hit us with the best news and notes you got. Let's get rid of that segment right off the bat. Just finish it off. News and notes. Boom. Go.
Well, the latest is that Keston Hira, according to the Holy Grail, MLBPipeline.com, is the top ranked second base prospect in all of baseball as we speak.
Something else, isn't it?
That is cool. Now, does that make him untouchable? It's about as close as you're going to get to untouchable in the Brewers organization, I would think. That would be my guess, and it would take one hell of a deal to take that prospect away. Now, I'm a huge fan of Keston Hira's, and I'm a believer in risk and reward. And you give up a year, he'd be my leadoff hitter, and I've told you this, he'd be my leadoff hitter opening day this year. March 28th. He'll be leading off. And then that thickens out that lineup. Now, I feel bad for Hernán Pérez, and they signed Spangenberg.
But if they cared about Hernán Pérez's feelings, they would have either given him an opportunity to be a starter a year ago, or they would have just cut him and let him go be a starter somewhere else. I think they know what he does in that role, and they do not want to take him out of the utility spot, which is weird to me.
All 40 members of the 40-man roster invited to spring league, big spring camp, and then 9 of the minor leaguers, including Zach Brown, pitcher of the year. He's going to be there. Corey Ray. So we're going to get a better look.
Whoa! Who'd you breeze past in there?
Lucas Irsic.
The truth is going to be in big league camp, baby. Lucas Irsic. We're going to have another shot to talk to our boy. You think he remembers us?
Yeah, I would think.
You and I did an interview, or you did, that was before I got cool enough to really be in on the interviews.
Okay.
We got the picture of you with who we coined were the two guys that were going to show the Brewers to the World Series.
Lucas Irsic and
Eson Diaz.
Diaz, that's right.
Who is now a member of the Miami Marlins system. He was also on that list. that you mentioned, the top 10 second base prospects in baseball, came in at number 10, part of the Christian Yelich trade last year. So we were pretty close. You were right. He helped him get close.
They are not going to unveil Keston Hira as the opening day starter at second baseman. It's just not going to happen. There's every indication that I've been hearing and reading that it's not going to happen. I don't understand why. I've always said for years that why can't we have that guy that is just plugged in and just never looks back?
And he's just a freak show? Yeah.
We did have Ryan Braun.
Mm-hmm.
But still they delayed to save a year. Right? They waited till late May on that year of, what, 2007. So they did save a year with him. And I think they're going to do the same thing. I think it's just the way Major League Baseball is with the higher-end prospects. Chris Bryant of the Chicago Cubs, none too happy about what they did to him. Same thing. However, that all being said, do we see then Keston Hira as the everyday second baseman? Let's just throw out there the midway point, July 1st. Is that a possibility?
I think it's a closer possibility that if he is going to be up here, he's going to be up here at the very, very, very earliest that they can without activating the Super 2.
Without getting the time mm-hmm. clock rolling.
So May, whatever that is, 12th, that has to be. It's a certain amount of games, right? It's a certain amount of game time that you can't. So, I mean, it might be a little bit earlier now with the season starting March 28th. My mother's birthday, by the way. Mm. She'll be at opening day. She can't
2019
wait.
2019 championship season.
You are going to try to make sure that you get same smart business. You got to be smart if you're going to run a business here in Milwaukee as the Milwaukee Brewers. You got to make sure you get absolutely every single cent that you can out of that dude. Then,
so that's the main news and note that I have. I have more. But we might have time for that a little bit later on. Also, speaking of later on, stick around.
Save them. Can't wait.
Yeah, stick around. Those of you that want to relive that run, and we've been calling it the run, right? I think for lack of another term, or just gravitated toward the run.
Yep.
That the Brewers were on in September and October. An amazing run. No question about that. So we have a little treat for you. We're going to relive some of those moments in a package that's, 15 minutes. So stick around for that.
Your question about former Maryvale Baseball Park?
Yeah.
Brewers Fields of Phoenix is the home of the Brewers spring training games. This okay. award-winning Cactus League facility, nestled in the west side of Phoenix, is a state-of-the-art complex with ample parking and easy access. So it appears now that, and it's even on the address, it says Brewers Fields of Phoenix. That might be the stupidest name I've ever heard in my entire life.
Fields of Phoenix?
The Fields of Phoenix. Brewers Fields of Phoenix.
Yeah, and again, I apologize because I'm normally on something like that, but it just sort of breezed through my take Monday morning normally to prepare for this show.
Sure, yep.
And so, but I had the big show with you to kind of, go through the football stuff or whatever. And I sort of cruised through it. Brewers Fields of Phoenix?
Mm-hmm. Brewers Fields of Phoenix. Now, we'll also, let's add some context to this because there are some pretty dumb names of minor league stadiums. I'll say that. That was the one thing that I noticed when I first went out there with you 2 years ago. There's Hohokam Stadium.
Hohokam
Stadium. Mm-hmm. Didn't want to say anything bad. Of the Oakland A's, Sloan Park, that's where the Cubs play, Peoria Stadium, those are decent. And then Salt River Fields at Talking Stick. Now, Talking Stick is like a resort area.
Sure. Yep.
Then there's is that where the casino is?
A lot of them are Native American.
Mm-hmm. Tempe Diablo. Yep. There's another one. Yep. Camelback Ranch, Glendale, Goodyear Park. How are you not just selling the naming rights to it and call it Coca-Cola Park or something?
Right, do something. Right.
RC Stadium. Right. Like, I would find something other than Brewers Fields of Phoenix.
Who does because that remind also, you of?
It's barely even in Phoenix. It's in the west end of Phoenix. It's in Maryvale.
It's nestled into a pocket of Phoenix that has seen better days. Let's just say that.
Because
it's nestled into a part of Phoenix that has akin to maybe nestling, I don't know, maybe
into the south side of Chicago or
a gun into your holster. Kind of nestled, like.
Yeah.
Okay, that kind of nestled.
Well, and also, I mean, some of the establishments right over there that has been known to be part of some people's attire.
You would nestle yourself into, a chair and a lounge?
Yes, and that lounge may have been used by certain recording artists who may or may not like to, you know, nestle those guns into their pockets, as Gary Ellerson so eloquently pointed out to me after we got back.
Brewers Fields of Phoenix.
Brewers Fields of Phoenix.
That's interesting.
Add that to the the list of making sure that you knock down all the marks when we get out to spring training.
Totally unexpected on this show. Honestly, it's the first time I've heard the phrase. So, to get the real response, we'll take a break. You will get my real response. And then we'll be cryptic and happy after that. We want to discuss the National League Central, and the Cincinnati Reds make a move acquiring Sonny Gray. Now, Sonny Gray's numbers have not been something that would warrant...
You don't want to marvel at them, no.
Yeah, would warrant some fear. I know that a lot of Brewers fans over the last couple of years have been saying, and maybe further on than a couple of years, maybe three or four, have been saying, get Sonny Gray, make a move for Sonny Gray. When you look at the numbers, as much the same as you look at Chris Archer or you look at Jake Odorizzi, it's a pitcher like that that shows a ton of promise, has had windows of huge success for sure. But lately, Sonny Gray, hasn't been that, you know, elite or ace type guy. That being said, some rumors flying around, maybe an acquisition of Zach Greinke. I love that deal. Now, the money's the one thing. The Brewers are at about the max they've been. I shouldn't say max, because I know there's wiggle room. They're at the most they've been ever in terms of projected opening day salary. So they're going to have to work out some sort of deal where that money's accrued somehow, paid somehow, some way to Greinke. What's he making? He's going to be making a ton per year.
Yeah. He's still got a bunch of money left. And the conversations that are kind of floating around would be that it would involve, you know, a good chunk, 30, 40 some million dollars coming back from Arizona. But he's still got a bunch of money left on that big deal.
Yeah. And I don't know if that included an opt out.
But it also then takes away from the fear that people have with Madison Baumgartner, doesn't it? It gives you that ace-like pitcher, or formerly an ace-type pitcher. Some people don't think Mad Bomb can get back to where he was, but you have him for multiple years. You don't necessarily have to worry about it. There does not appear that there is an opt-out left in this deal for Zach Greinke. May opt out after the 15 season. That was his previous contract. Yeah, he's locked in.
Yeah, not only the money, but it would be what you would have to give up for either acquiring Greinke or Mad Bum.
And he's a 35-year-old. Zach Greinke also a little bit older than Madison Baumgartner at this point. 35, 36, 37 years. It would be 31.5, 32.
Yeah, I don't see it happening unless they get someone else to flip that bill. I really don't see that happening. Now, would that be a guy that would be a nice acquisition? Of course.
Yeah, big time.
A
dude that's had also a ton of experience winning at Miller Park. Not just pitching, winning at Miller Park.
Cubs, Cardinals, Reds, Pirates, part of the NL Central. We'll talk about that next. Tim and Taos here, Hot Stove Weekly, here on The Fan.
2018 was amazing. What can the crew do to take the next step? We're talking about it on The Fan. This is Hot Stove Weekly.
Yeah, they come up one game short of the World Series, and I hope we don't continue to repeat that line. Because what did we repeat in 2011 and 2012 and 2013? Just two games shy of the World Series. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember it pretty vividly. David Fries, what, 569 or something like that he hit in that?
Yeah, and the game that Roberts led him off in the NLCS, It might have been one of the lowest moments. I think we've briefly talked about that. Remember, I was at a wedding.
I was going to say, you remember the circumstance, right?
I was at a wedding.
You were, and you and I were kind of calling each other back and forth, like whenever I could get you away for a couple of seconds, because I was working another job, I remember. So I didn't get to hear it right away.
I almost, oh man.
I was doing an Admirals game, an early Admirals game, and you're at a wedding. So I raced down to come and steal you away from the wedding.
Yes.
And you got the radio in hand. My radio wasn't working in the car, so you let me borrow one.
That's right.
And then David Freese leads off with a home run.
It was crazy. So I hope we don't repeat that. Just one game, you know, away from a World Series appearance. So let's change that in 2019. And part of that is winning the division, putting yourself in a position to move forward and take that next step and get the deep run and do all the things that we had fun with last year outside of losing that final game 7 in the NLCS. Part of that, to a lot of Brewers fans, is the acquisition of a frontline starter. And it goes back to that narrative, the frontline starter.
Yep.
Now, Madison Bumgarner, is he a frontline starter as we speak? Is he an elite pitcher as we speak?
Still firmly believe he is.
Okay, that being said.
He's had two injuries off of the field, a motorcycle accident and then a broken hand.
I think Brewer fans would love that dude. Seems like a fun-loving, blue-collar guy.
I mean, the guy drank like 6 beers at one time. Now, they were buds, so we'll flip him over to Miller, but he'll be okay with that.
We'll get him over to the high life. And so, that being said, someone just texted or tweeted us.
Yeah, Northside Trell said, Brewers should trade for Bumgarner and tried for a reasonable extension, a la Sonny Gray. They said that they wouldn't do the deal unless they could lock him in for a certain amount of time. They get him for 3 years.
Yep.
Brewers are too close to a World Series pennant to not do everything possible to put themselves in a position to not get it done. I mean, like, and exactly what he's saying. You're too close. You're almost doing yourself a disservice not to do absolutely everything you can to get that one extra game that you didn't get last year.
I totally agree. Totally agree with Trell.
I'll tell you this much. If Madison Bumgarner is on the team, ain't no way Craig Counsell is doing what he did with Wade Miley and sending Bumgarner out for one hitter.
Yeah.
Or maybe he does.
On his bullpen day, maybe.
Maybe Bumgarner loves it.
He'd be the guy that would love it.
He would love it because of the deception, and then I'll go and drop the hammer on him, Skip, for 6.5 tomorrow night.
And we had Paul Wagner on a few hours ago on the Wendy's Big Show, and he had mentioned that maybe the pitching staff would be handled in a different way, sort of. He likes what Craig Counsell has been doing, but a guy like Madison Bumgarner is a guy that you would give the ball to and just let him go. However long he goes, he's going to go. This wouldn't have anything to do with matchups. If he's in a game, winning a game, you're going to leave him be. That would be interesting, but it does come down to who you would want to give up. And Wags also stated that his odd man out of the three prospects of Burns, Woodruff, and Freddie Peralta. And I don't know if it's fair to call them prospects anymore, is it?
No, they all succeeded at the major league level. They are big league players.
Freddie Peralta would be the odd man out, and I totally agree with that as well. So Freddie Peralta and what else would get you Bumgarner, keeping in mind that you only get him for a year from the Giants' perspective, or from the Brewers' perspective, under contract just one more year. Freddie Peralta and fill in the blank. Keston Hira? My answer would be no. As much as I'm all right with moving prospects, that's the one guy I'm not moving.
I understand.
Lucas Cercig.
Much as we love him, I'll let him go.
Corey Ray? That one's right on the bubble there. Giants, I think, would do that deal.
Corey Ray is tough, is becoming tougher and tougher for me to give up on, primarily for what we had talked about a few years ago when I first started doing the show, and it was the, quote, rebuild, and you had to suck for as long as you had to make sure you got a bunch of top 5 picks. The dude is the fifth pick. Like that's why you did it. That's why you lost whatever how many games.
Yep.
But man, Madison Bumgarner in a Brewers uniform would be something else.
And I do believe that Trill said you're so close to being that team that could get it done that it's almost a disservice if you don't. I understand that philosophy.
And is it a disservice? And this is something that, you know, you and I have talked about at length. And also something that I have talked to Gary and Leroy about from being in those locker rooms. What does that message send to your team not going out and doing that? Like, does it say on the one hand of, no, man, whatever. We know that you guys are good enough to do what you did last year. You know what you messed up on. We were 8 innings away. You guys are only going to get better. We're going to be there anyway. Or does it say, let's hold off here a little bit. 96 wins, you know. We're counting on some young dudes. Maybe we'll wait a little bit before we make a big move like that.
Those guys are dudes. They're regular guys that happen to play baseball. But they, how do you not? And every time I've asked one of the younger players to expand on, hey, you sit home talking with your buddies or whatever, having a few beers, talk about your situation. Are you landlocked out of a certain position because you're at single A and there's beast, you know, first basemans or whatever at your position that are landlocking? The second I go there, in all the interviews I've attempted, all the questions I've attempted in that vein, they've all answered the same way. And they are very well trained to answer the same way. What do they answer? I just worry about my situation. I'm trying to work on my game, do what I can do to be a better player, help this team win, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. But you know they do. You know they do.
We had Brett finally say it last year, Phillips,
yes.
who said, when I heard that Lorenzo Cain and Christian Yelich were coming, what was the first thing I thought of? Damn, left side or right side of the bench? Which one should I sit on this year? They know the situation. They know what it is.
They do know it. And so the Brewers are this close, and I would like to see a move, and you still might see it. You still might see it. All right, so the National League Central, the Cincinnati Reds getting a lot of hype.
Big-time hype. You know who else is getting some hype? The St. Louis Cardinals.
Getting a lot of hype.
Paul Goldschmidt, Andrew Miller.
Miller, I didn't realize, 34?
An older dude. Yeah, he and you know what? Andrew Miller also was he was supposed to be one of the next big starting pitchers, and then obviously didn't he get hurt when he was with the Yankees?
Mm-hmm.
And was pulled back, scaled back, then they decided to move him into the relief role. And he's 33, so he'll turn 34 in the middle of the year next year, May.
Yeah, so but the Reds, I just think it's overhyped. I don't see how you go from that to being viable in the Central.
I don't know how FanGraphs put him over the top of the Brewers.
I don't know, man. Unless Derek Johnson's that good, who is now their pitching coach, former Brewers pitching coach. I don't know. Pittsburgh, I think, is in a sort of a rebuild situation, although you can't tell Chris Archer that. He's not going to accept that. So they may be battlers. We'll see. Now we get to St. Louis, Chicago, and Milwaukee. And I'm just going to say this. A team, both these two teams in the regular season, minus the additional tiebreaker game, both these two teams, the Cubs and the Brewers, won 95 games last year. Think about that. 95. Why is it the perception in Chicago is that their team sucks? They won 95 games. That's the team I fear. Mm-hmm. Don't fear the Reds. I don't fear really the Cardinals. I think the talent might be there a little bit, but you know, you saw what happened. They kind of tailed at the end there. They did get on a roll after making the managerial change. But it's the Cubs and the Brewers in this division. Both winners of 95 games in the regular season last year. Look out. Now we're going to Vegas in a couple of weeks here. First bet I'm making, Brewers over, whatever number that is, and the Cubs over. I think they both go back and do it again. Cubs 88, 89, Brewers at 85, 86, I think, is the latest.
Yeah, because the money definitely shifted that Brewer bet. Opened at 83.5, and a lot of people were like you, very, very smart on it, jumped on it right away.
And Grandal, I think, has changed the landscape a little bit. But in the Central, it's the Cubs that I fear. Again, this is going to be a battle. Miller Park is going to be a war zone between Brewer fans and Cub fans.
Just saw it today on Facebook. There's a bar down in Chicago already setting up for a game in September to bring a huge crew of Cubs fans up here from Chicago to sit in the 200 level.
See? Again, I'll never grow numb to it. It will always agitate me. I'm aggravated by it. The shows are very interesting, the post-game shows, when the Cubs are in town. Yep. I get headaches.
You smoke copious amounts of cigarettes.
Tons,
it's unbelievable.
Tons. So that's the team to fear in the National League Central. I think the St. Louis Cardinals, Cincinnati Reds. St. Louis Cardinals would be that one that if things go right, maybe they compete toward the end there. Reds, I don't believe the hype, and Pittsburgh in a sort of retool situation, let's call it that. All right, so we had a lot of fun last year, and I thought we'd give you a sneak peek at a piece of our year-end wrap-up. Those of you that aren't aware of it, we do a retrospective. We take a look back, and we hear from the players and the manager and some of the fans, et cetera, et cetera. The highlights are here. Stick around. We picked a nice little chunk of games here to sort of relive that experience, warm you up here on a cold Wisconsin nightmare wintry night from It's Hot Stove Weekly on The Fan.
Tim Allen takes your calls now. Let's talk Brewers baseball on Hot Stove Weekly on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
And welcome back. It is Hot Stove Weekly, getting your weekly Brewers fix here on The Fan. Tim Allen, Baby Tosh, Bill Schmid. Tim and Tosh spending all afternoon together.
This has been fun, man. Yeah. One, I was glad that you came in for the big show. Thank you for that. We needed the pinch hitter, so you came on in. Two, it was fun reversing roles with you.
That's right.
It was weird, though, when I was looking over and then you'd throw your hands up like, all right, bring it out from the break.
Yep, you get it. That isn't me. I'm just stealing money.
Because it's definitely it's different. I mean, some people don't necessarily think about the techniques or whatever that you know you and I have to go through. But there's a different flow when you're sitting in this chair and when you're sitting alongside. You're able to more just sit back and have some fun
and that's just
what
react.
That's what I enjoy doing.
Yeah, and just react. Also, those of you I know, we're getting peppered with the questions of, since you're on the Wendy's Big Show now, that, you know, does that alleviate you from duty on the post game show? And the answer is no.
No, the answer is definitely no. I'm going to be in here whenever they allow me to.
Right.
I've kind of made that, a staple of what I do. And I wanted to make sure that it was a staple of what I do on the show and what listeners can do, because I always, being an offensive lineman, Tim, I mean, it kind of sounds stupid, but you want to be a workhorse. You want to be the one that people can depend on. So I'm glad that, you know, I can make sure people can depend on me out here on the station.
And so will Bill Schmid be on the post-game show in 2019's championship season? The answer is yes. In the meantime, let's go back and take a little sneak peek back at some great moments down the stretch. Brewers, at this point, will pick it up after 90 wins.
90 wins and counting here in 2018. Four games left to play. The magic number is now one. And with a win in game two against the Cardinals, a blowout win, Christian Yelich just padding the stats for the MVP. A three-run triple and a three-run homer, his 33rd of the year. He's now got 104 knocked in and another Cubs loss. And with four to play, you're just a half game back. Is it a magic season? A magic carpet ride for the special 2018 crew? Sure seems like it for Christian Yelich, as you will hear. The St. Louis crowd giving Christian Yelich some MVP chance, jacking up the fans and a couple of broadcasters.
That three-run home run in the ninth, they walk Lorenzo Cain in front of you. You wasted no time. First pitch, that ball was out of here. Take me through that at-bat.
Yeah, I mean, as a competitor, you take that as a challenge. It's part of the game, but at the same time, you know, they're challenging you, and as a competitor, you always want to answer the challenge.
And that wasn't only your only big hit of the night. You came up with that bases clearing triple. You were fired up after that one as well to help the team take a big lead early.
Yeah, I mean, this is a big, really big game for us. And this is a tough place to play and win. And they're a great team. So we knew it was going to be tough. And, you know, it was credit to a lot of guys going out there. We had guys come in out of the bullpen and get out of really big spots and kind of calm the game down because it was starting to get a little crazy there right in the middle of innings.
You want to get to Bone or you want to take a break?
Let's get Bone in here quick.
Bone, what's happening? You're on the Fan.
What's happening, fellas?
What's going on?
I just want to let everybody know right off the bat, I'm holding it down for Court tonight. It's one of my best friends, Mr. Theme Music, them boys. That's my guy. All right,
20, okay.
25 years. All right, he can't make it tonight. He's got kids. He's in bed.
You're pinch hitting for my man, Court.
I'm a pinch hit for him. I'm going to start off not as positive as he did because your opening question was, how do we feel about Jennings starting the game tonight? And my feelings were, you know, I didn't hear about it until a half hour before the game. I thought he was going to go. I just thought he was a starter. I'm like, all right, whatever. Then I find out he's just going to go in there to get Carpenter. Great. All right, gets him out. Fantastic. Bringing Peralta. That's great. So now we get to the third inning. All right, two outs.
Yep.
Carpenter's up. In a one-run game, why don't we bring in another lefty to face him? If we're so serious about having lefties face him,
I totally agree with you.
Why doesn't Cedeno come in to face him then?
Yep.
If we're emptying the bullpen.
Yep.
Okay, and this is at, you know, 8 o'clock at night. This isn't at 12:30 at night where we won the game and everything's great. All right, but at that point, I'm like, let's be serious about it. Bring in a lefty. First pitch, bing bong, off the wall, game's tied.
Yep.
Okay,
Billy. What was I yelling at the TV?
The exact same thing. We were yelling the exact same thing.
Same thing. In fact, my words, Bone, were, Craig, if you're going bullpen game, then go all in.
Then go for it. Don't. I almost swore right there. Don't leave the kid in there. I love Peralta. I love him. He's going to be a part of this team in the future. But just empty it out. Go for it. You know what I mean? Now, all that was my feeling at, like I said, 8:30. Okay, game's great. We won, but in the long run, which was what the turn I saw tonight was, the Cardinals play like we have played against them for the last 15 years.
Find a way to lose it.
Bunch of walks, giving up runs without giving hits, hitting runners on first base in the chest with a ball, trying to do pickoff plays. You know, it's nice to see that though. It's nice to see us turn tables on them and make them look like the little brother. And we'll be the big brother for once. You
Bone,
know?
That is an excellent pinch hit. That's a two-run double right there
for Bone.
And, Court, one of our favorite guys, man. I mean that. One of my favorite guys these years.
Hey, man, that's one of my best friends for 25 years. I've been standing next to him when he's called the show. I've been there. We work together at the Hale House. That's my guy. Much love. Well, I hear what you guys have to say. Good night.
All right, thanks, man. Good dude. Court really is. Good guy. Anyone hangs out with Court's got to be cool.
Oh, yeah.
You know that.
He's not hanging out with any lame dudes. You can tell that.
Not at all. All right, we'll take a break. Getting your reaction to Brewers' 6-4 victory. Now a game and a half back in the Central. 3 up on the Cards. 3.5 on the Rockies. Headed to the playoffs. Yeah. And now the Brewers clinch a playoff spot for the first time since 2011. The crew punches their ticket here in the 2018 championship season, and the celebration begins after a win over St. Louis.
And that's into right field, a base hit. Yelich will score. Aguilar's going to head to third. Here comes a throw, and Aguilar is out at third. Do it again, another 3-2. Shaw in the air, left field. That's going to fall, and here comes Yelich, and the Brewers do take the lead. Travis Shaw with his second RBI. Adolis Garcia, the pinch runner, the fastest Cardinal. Tying run at first. Go ahead and run at the plate. Jeremy Jeffress back on the mound. First ball swinging. Rolling to third. Moustakas gloves. Throw to first is low. Gets by. Hits off the top. Garcia's coming home. He falls down. Kratz can't find him. Now he tags him out to end the inning.
Are you
kidding me?
Oh, man. Unbelievable. I'm telling you what, he would have scored easily had he been able to stay on his feet.
Wow.
Wow.
How many horseshoes just fell out of the Brewers' back pocket right there? 1-2 to Tyler O'Neill. Two outs in the ninth. Jeffers deals. And he struck him out! And the Brewers win! Back to the postseason! Milwaukee!
To everybody in this room, every single person here has contributed to where we're at today. Everybody should feel incredible about what we've accomplished. Remember how special this feels. And do everything in your power to make sure this isn't our last celebration. Proud of all of you guys. It's been an honor and a privilege for me to go about this with you guys, the way we've done it as a group, as a family. And special night, man. Enjoy it, embrace it, and be a part of it.
Hey. Three games to go, and all the goals are still in play. Winning the World Series at the top of that list. You're back home for three games to finish out the regular season, and it's interleague play against the Detroit Tigers. Tough to expect a sweep in baseball, but the crew got it, and Ryan Braun continuing to dominate. Christian Yelich, well, just being Christian Yelich.
And Yelich sends it high in the air, right center field, and it is gone! Christian Yelich with a two-run blast! And right away, the Brewers put the tallies on the board. Kane will get a head start, 3-2 the count. Norris deals, and Yelich in the air. Deep left center field. Way back. Goodbye. He's done it again. Christian Yelich to the opposite field. A two-run home run. Number 35. And the Brewers are within a run.
We're just scratching and clawing and just finding a way to win, you know, like we've been saying all year, just trying to find a way. You know, it's a big moment in the game. There's a lot of emotion involved, and, you know, it put us on top. So we're trying to hold on for that the W right there.
And during the Tigers series, the Cubs are playing the Cardinals in a three-game set. The Brewers, they had just swept them, and they're one game out. They needed help from St. Louis now, and they got it. An amazing ride, an amazing run. As the Brewers sweep the Tigers, the Cubs stumble, and it opened the door. The Brewers stepped through, and after 162 games, there was a tie atop the National League Central between the rival Cubs and your Milwaukee Brewers. What's next? A one-game tiebreaker, game 163, that will determine the division title and home field throughout the playoffs. Could you ask for anything more? You can't say the crew didn't earn it, winning 27 of their last 37 games, including seven straight to get to this point.
It's exciting. It means that we've earned this opportunity, as we've done for the last few weeks. Tomorrow will be the biggest game of the season. I think it'll help that we've taken that approach basically over the course of almost the entirety of this month, but at least the last couple weeks it's been that way. So we've earned this opportunity. We're excited about it.
We did our job. We got ourselves an extra game, and that's how we're looking at it. We're excited to go down there. You know, we just finished we feel like it's a pretty successful, a very successful late run to get us into that game. We won seven in a row to put ourselves in that game. That's pretty darn good.
It's a one-game playoff to determine a champion in the NL Central. Wrigley Field, Brewers, Cubs, one game, and if you're not nervous for this one, something's wrong with you. Yolish Chacin starting his league-leading 35th game, and the crew gives him an early run off the bat of who else? You guessed it, Christian Yelich.
And he delivers. Christian Yelich knocks in Arcia, and the Brewers go up 1-0.
Anthony Rizzo would tie the game with a solo shot, but when Cubs manager Joe Maddon removed Jose Quintana, the crew, they got to work against that Cubs bullpen. It was the eighth inning. Orlando Arcia would lead off with a base hit, his fourth hit of the game. Domingo Santana continues his torrid streak as a pinch hitter with a double, and both Lorenzo Cain and Ryan Braun would make it pay off. They came up big.
Standing room only. Back up the middle, and Lorenzo Cain looks at his bench as he drives in Arcia. And the Brewers grab a 2-1 lead in the eighth. He goes, and that one is over the head of Murphy. Cain will go to third. Braun delivers, and a huge add-on run for the Milwaukee Brewers with two strikes.
You've got a lead in the eighth inning. Everybody knows what that means. 71, Josh Hader coming out of the Brewers bullpen for two scoreless frames as the Brewers lock up the Central.
Right field, playable. Roxton, game over, division over. The Brewers are champions of the Central.
And the celebration was on. What an amazing run for the Crew to seal the deal. And hey, Milwaukee, you have a division title here in the championship season of 2018.
You all just did something that was incredible. We just ran off 8 in a row to win this division. We talked about halfway through the season. We ain't a World Series team yet. We are a World Series team.
Oh, yeah!
Being the first celebration and not the last.
Yeah.
Not the only celebration. That was about a relentless pursuit of this accomplishment for every player in here, for the trainers, for the coaches, for the strength coaches, for the front office, for everybody who's contributed, and ultimately, video guys too.
Woo!
But none of this would have been possible without our two architects, David Stearns, Craig Council. On behalf of everybody here, we got these for you guys.
Yeah, baby.
We were so confident we're going to win today at RDC's NL Central Division Championship.
Yeah, amazing, huh?
Just that was outstanding,
goosebumps.
Man. Wow.
Mm-mm-mm. I think Craig Council, the more I hear that, he intended on playing in the World Series.
He expected them to be there.
Yeah.
Expected them to be competing for a title.
Hey, lots of things to talk about next Monday night on Hot Stove Weekly as we'll chat with some of the players at the On Deck event. And those of you that have tickets, congrats. You got them. You're in. We'll take a look for you and jump on a video with Tim and Taos. It's been Hot Stove Weekly, another edition here on The Fan. And smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.